Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Faceoff won there by Aberdeen. Smoke toward the ice. Love down there by Hudson. Knockbacks win. Rise up to the Robertson Cup. Your Robertson Cup champions are the Shreveport Knockbacks. All year, their mission was to win the Robertson Cup. Ladies and gentlemen, mission accomplished.
Chet Yoder, is your voice back yet?
It's still recuperating.
Yeah, you sound much more calm and sedate today.
Well, you know, you get a week off after winning the championship. You have time to just kind of decompress.
Chet Yoder, the play-by-play announcer of the Shreveport Mudbugs, after winning the Robertson Cup Championship, the 4-2 win over Aberdeen. And Chet, at what point did you think that this team had a chance to do something special, something great to win a championship?
It was really from day one, Dave. When everybody arrived at training camp, we had over 60 guys at camp. We had to trim down that 60-man roster to about 30 guys, I would say around the September of 2020, and the talk was the Robertson Cup, and we felt like we had all the pieces in place, made a couple of big trades to send some of our, you know, regular forwards out of here from last year and bring in some new depth to our team. And we felt like that we had one of the deepest teams we've ever had in now our fifth year of existence.
How did the COVID pandemic impact how you guys did business this past season?
It wasn't that bad. I mean, as far as the first level, or I guess you can say the first phase of our 2020-2021 season, we could only have 1,500 fans in the building. So we had 1,500 fans in the building, and it was still rocking. I felt like fans were louder than ever. They were hungrier more than ever, just looking for something to be a part of, to get out of the house after COVID really had us locked up pretty bad here down south. That number from 1,500 went up to 2,500 as the season went on, and then we got close to over 3,000 near the end of the season. So I would say financially it did take a hit, but when you win the Robertson Cup and now you have all these shirt and jersey and championship sales and jersey auctions, I think it's going to make up for it, Dave.
I need to bust your chops on that too. This was going to be the first podcast I've done with video. I was going to have you on, you know, pimping your Mudbugs gear, and you weaseled out to insist on audio only. Why?
Okay, so my day got backed up a little bit today, and as you know, everybody has like an agenda. I have an agenda. I have an A, a B, a C, a D, and an E, and my A, B, and C kind of got backed up this morning, so then I had to do my workout that I try to work out every day a little later in the day. So I got my workout done just before coming on with you, and I don't look very decent at the moment right now.
I thought you were implying like you were hungover or something, like you couldn't come on disheveled like that.
No hangovers. I'm actually pretty I'm pretty healthy. I would have to say I'm at the healthiest state of my life that I've ever been. I've cut out a lot of carbs. I'm on a low carb diet. I drink coffee with no sugar and cream. I drink a lot of black coffee. I try to save my fats and calories for certain things that I'd rather have than the others. And I really try to eat healthy and I try to be healthy. And I think that's important, especially for broadcasters like ourselves, because as we know, a lot of broadcasters can pack on the LBs and it can add on real quickly.
Are you keto?
No, I haven't done keto. I'm not on a specific diet. I'm on just my own low carb diet. I try to keep track of how many carbs I consume. I still eat bad sometimes. I'm not perfect, but I do eat a lot of healthier meals. I stay off the bread. If I eat any bread, it's wheat bread every once in a while. I try to eat a lot of veggies, try to eat load up a lot of greens. Try to stay away from too many sugary things. Of course, that took a hit a little bit at the Robertson Cup Championship down in Minnesota, or up in Minnesota, rather. and because they had a lot of great things in hospitality and just accommodations were unbelievable from the league. So I'm not keto, but I'm at my healthiest state than I think I've ever been.
What's your favorite cheat meal or cheat dessert?
Oh boy. Okay. So my favorite cheat dessert actually was in our trip to Minnesota. We went to a place called Portillo's. It's a famous place in Chicago known for their Italian beef. And I think it's burgers and hot dogs that they have, but they have this chocolate cake shake. They take a slice of chocolate cake with fudge, put it into a cup, blend it with vanilla ice cream, and top it off with fudge. It's unbelievable. It changed my life. So that is my cheat dessert that I had in our Robertson Cup weekend. My favorite cheat meal. Oh, boy. For the Louisianans, it would be Raising Cane's. I don't know if you've ever heard of Raising Cane's chicken fingers, but they're unbelievable. It's a fried meal, but I don't eat it very much. So my cheat meals are very few and far between. I will say that, Dave.
My favorite cheat dessert is Jack in the Box Oreo cookie shake.
We don't have very many Jack in the Boxes here in Louisiana. I don't eat out at fast food places. Very rarely do I ever.
Well, you know, I mean, for me, the health thing is everything. And as a broadcaster, it's got to be super hard, especially on the road.
It is.
You have to find healthy food options.
It is. So now we are blessed to have, you know, a hot breakfast at the hotel. So as long as you just stay off the bread, eat the eggs. Sometimes I do delve in the bacon and sausage, which I don't think is going to kill me because I'm staying off the potatoes and carbs, you know, potatoes and bread, rather. I'm staying off all the potatoes, staying off all the bread. I think the eggs, bacon, and sausage will be okay just to get my body going. Lunch is a little tough because we have pasta on game days. So I do delve in a little bit of pasta just because there's no way around it. But I do focus on the chicken and veggies as well. I stay away from pizza because that's very popular in our league for post-game meals. I can't even remember the last time I've eaten a pizza. I'm not a big fan anymore just because I've been so drained of it because it's always around us in hockey.
How are you dealing with carbs then around workouts? Because you're always taught to you refuel, you need the energy.
So that's when I do consume the carbs. So I am not on a no carb diet. I'm on a low carb diet. And I think that's what I try to remind myself about and try to tell others is that you can eat certain carbs after your workout to feel your body, which is fine, but you don't want to overdo it. Like tonight, I'm going to grill some hamburger patties, put some egg whites with some veggies. No bun, no, you know, sloppy condiments, but all healthy stuff, you know, and that'll be my meal tonight. And I love that meal because I put some Tony Satch seasoning with some, you know, salt and pepper, maybe some jalapenos. You know, I make it nice and tasty.
Do the other announcers in the league view health like you do? You know, working out and trying to eat right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. They think I'm crazy. They think I'm absolutely nuts because as they're going to the concession stands to eat chicken tenders and fries, I just shake my head. I go, you know, Cody, what are you doing? Oh, Nick, what are you doing? I mean, jokingly, you know, jokingly, I say that.
No, you're not.
Semi-jokingly. But see, me and you, I think we get it. You know, we're on that level that when you're a broadcaster, bad food is around you. And we're not going to lie, that bad food tastes unbelievably good, but it's so unbelievably bad for you. And I just don't want to feel like crap the rest of the night because most of your games are at night and I don't want to sleep on crap.
I know when we coordinated this podcast, you were going to call out the biggest slob in the league as an announcer, but let's do that for some other show.
I
know you wanted to expose him. I'm going to, you know, for your career, I'm going to let you sit on that one to the next episode.
I can't think of who it would be.
As we move to your career, and one of the things that I really respect, and we talk about the grind, you know, you went down there, you were dealing poker, and last time we talked, you were substitute teaching. How do you make it work financially, juggling a career as a play-by-play announcer and trying to live?
Very tough. It's very tough. You have to have your days planned out, like I said, from A, B, C, D to E. And you have to be able to, you know, you have to be able to be that organized, have great bosses, which I've been blessed with the Mudbugs and my my El Dorado poker room job. I've been blessed with two great bosses who are able to enable me to assist and help me and be able to work with me on my busy schedule. Because right now I'm not just a poker dealer. Now I'm a poker dealer / supervisor. And I've had that role now since the summer of 2018. I've held that role now. So now I'm kind of a dual rate, so to speak, in my El Dorado poker room, where I stand up, wear the suit as a supervisor, you know, 1 to 2 days a week, preferably just 1 day a week, and then deal the other 4 days a week. And so that makes myself more invaluable to the poker room, where my boss is more, I guess you can say, lenient toward giving me the days off that I need for Mudbugs road trips.
What are the hours that you deal poker?
Yeah, so most of it is graveyard for the weekend. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm working from 12 to 8, so midnight to 8 a.m. In the weekday, we close our poker room at 2 a.m. We're trying to move that up to 4 a.m. just because of COVID. We're kind of under some COVID regulations. So then I work swing on the weeknight. So tonight I'll be supervising. I'll work from 6 p.m. to about 2:30 a.m., which is considered swing. The graveyard to swing transition has been a little bit different, but we just opened up our poker room last April, you know, due to COVID and all that. We were closed for almost 13 months, Dave. It was a long time that we were closed for, and we're so glad to be opened up, and business has been booming.
Do you do graveyard during the season?
Yes, I do graveyard during the season. For Friday, Saturday home games, I'll call the Mudbugs game and then head on over to the El Dorado and deal some cards or supervise all the way up to 8 a.m. and then sleep for maybe 5-6 hours and do it again on Saturday night. And then after Saturday night, I'll come back home Sunday and I'll sleep most of the day to recover and work graveyard again Sunday night.
You've had to go to the arena though, just gasp time or two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's where Black Coffee came into really big play there, Dave. Is actually, I got inspired from you to go along with my coaching staff and actually poker players who drink coffee black. I was a big, you know, let's put the French vanilla cream, let's put the, you know, Splenda sweetener to make it, you know, nice and sweet. And one day I went to the rink. I was dying one time from the casino. They didn't have any creamer or sugar, and I decided to drink it black, and I've loved it ever since. It's an acquired taste. It's like people who drink beer. I'm not a beer drinker myself. I think it's disgusting, but it's something that you have to get acquired to. And you know, you did it when you, I think you still do it through your intermittent fasting, but black coffee is the way to go.
Oh yeah. It's, you get the nutrition benefits of it too. You don't think caffeine is going to help you much, but in the moderate doses, and as far as your metabolism and getting you through that hunger you have in the morning, because there are times where, man, I'd love to eat, but you got to suck it up 3 or 4 more hours to get to that 16-hour intermittent fast.
Absolutely. And it's the benefits are unbelievable. I mean, the antioxidants, like you said, the metabolism gets increased by about 11%. They got a lot of good B vitamins. And all that gets taken away once you put sugar and cream in it. So why do it, in my opinion? I think coffee is best laid out in black, and if you drink 1 to 2 cups a day of it, which I do, I think it's as beneficial as can be.
Just like I like my ladies, strong and bitter. Strong and bitter.
You still drink black coffee, Dave?
Oh yeah, every day 1 cup. Good. Hey, what makes a good poker dealer?
People would say it's a great personality. I think it's part of it. but a great poker dealer knows how to pitch the cards efficiently and knows how to call his own game, so to speak. Does that make sense?
I'm not a poker expert, so you have to educate me.
So when I say call his own game, make sure to let everybody know what the bet is, what the raise is. Okay, 30's the bet, 30 to call. All right, 30, 30, it's on you. All right, re-raise, 130 now, 130. Re-raise, 250, 250 to play now. Or, you know, or 260 rather, or whatever you want to make the raise. But to call your own game, to pitch the cards efficiently, and to have a personality to go along with it makes a great poker dealer.
How did you find that profession?
I was always into poker. I was fascinated with poker ever since I was in high school. I'm a Rounders kid with Matt Damon, Ed Norton, John Malkovich. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. Unbelievable. One of my favorite movies. I watch it probably once a year, if more. I got into the game that way. I started playing in high school, you know, a little 10 bucks, 15, 20 bucks here and there with friends. Then I played at San Jose State in a couple of university tournaments. Won a big one, I think over 2,700, from a university tournament, cashed a couple of times after that, got really into it. Then I dealt it on the side in country clubs and yacht clubs. It's actually kind of a good little side business because you're kind of working in their building. They get a percentage of your tips, but you get to kind of run your own game. And that's kind of how I got into it. Then I took a little time off from dealing just because the games kind of died out and fizzled out. But I've always worked, you know, on the side here and there, like I said, from golf country clubs and yacht clubs. And then when I went to Shreveport, I was trying to figure out how to make it work with, you know, my Mudbugs hockey income. And I knew Shreveport was filled with casinos. I was very familiar with Shreveport because I did minor league baseball in Shreveport. So it's kind of a small world, so to speak. And when I did minor league baseball in Shreveport, I played poker at night, you know? So I was very familiar in where I was going when I went to Shreveport. And that's when I decided, let me become a poker dealer again. And this is my first, I've now been there about 4 years or so to speak. I guess you take away COVID. And I've never looked back.
Do the people you work with or the clients know you do play-by-play hockey?
Absolutely. They ask me all the time. And some are big Mudbugs fans who actually play with us, which makes it even better. But even the poker players who are not into hockey know that I'm an announcer. They even say, you know, you do have an announcer voice, you know, when I'm calling names on the mic, you know, saying, hey, John, you're 1-3 no limit. Texas Hold'em seat is open. John, 1-3 no limit, Texas Hold'em, you know, like I make it a lot of fun, you know, when I'm trying to let people know they got an open seat, and people can kind of put two and two together, even if they don't know that I am a broadcaster and I have a lot of fun. And, you know, if you have a mic in the poker room, I'm not afraid to use it.
You actually were going right there to kind of the pukey DJ voice there for a second.
Yeah. Nobody's described it as pukey, Dave, except you. But I try to make the poker room as fun and friendly of an atmosphere as it can be. And you want to invite people to come to the poker room. So if that gets their attention, great, because that's their time for a good time.
Now, you know what I'm talking about. It's a DJ term. So you hear the guys on the radio, hey, everybody, I'm Chet Yoder. I got your stacks of wax back to back for the bitch and boss dynamite outside. I'm your favorite DJ. I'm a puker. So that's where that voice comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do get like that sometimes. And, you know, I can't help myself sometimes.
Do the people you work with know that you did stand-up comedy at one time?
Some do. It's been talked about more within the Mudbugs organization because they've seen a few of my acts on YouTube. it's been talked about maybe doing a stand-up act to, you know, open up a Bugs community event or a public event. It's never actually happened. I'm open to the idea of it, but it's never actually been happened. I miss it. My last set was back in 2016. So it's been about 5 years since I've got up on stage and done a comedy act.
What year did I see you perform in San Jose?
That would have been back in, oh boy, take me back now, Dave, 2012. But I did stand up, you know, in various parts of the states. I did it in Iowa. I did it in parts of Texas. I did it in parts in South Louisiana, along with North Louisiana. So there's been different parts of the world that I've been able to do stand-up comedy.
What is more difficult, calling a game or trying to win over a crowd?
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing I've ever seen.
It's not even close, Dave. It's not, you know, doing play-by-play, you're kind of on an island, but you're in control of what you're doing. When you're doing stand-up comedy, you get up on stage, you know your act, but you don't know how it's going to go over with the crowd. So you do have a sense of no control.
I was just thinking that the rejection you'd get from stand-up after a bad set, you know, and you go back to do it again, is similar to when you're a play-by-play announcer and you're sending out tapes and you don't get response. And right. You know, it could just scar you, but you keep going at it. You keep knocking on doors.
Yeah, I mean, you need to talk to fellow comics. You need to kind of get somebody to kind of lift you up a little bit. I watch a lot of stand-up comedy. I still do. Maybe not as much as I used to, but I still do. And it's an artwork, you know, some of the greats that are so, you know, great at it, you know, guys like Jerry Seinfeld and, you know, all the great ones, Eddie Murphy, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I mean, those two come off the top of my head. It's something that is a beautiful artwork, but it does take time. It takes practice, just like play by play.
Is there anything from that craft that translates to calling games?
It actually does. I've been able to use my sense of humor that I have on my stage, and I guess you can say use it in my broadcast, so to speak. And it's that sense of not being careful of what you say, being a little bit on the edge. And people have described me as a guy that's very comfortable with myself when I'm calling a hockey game. I connect with the fans, the families, the corporate partners who are all tuned in on an intimate level that I think helped with me doing stand-up, me doing public speaking, me really being out there before, you know, every broadcast that I did. You know, I think it does help, and I think it goes hand in hand. If you want it to help, it does help.
Here's a sample of Chet Yoder at the mic.
Now Russell has it, 15 seconds left. Gato gonna pin it along the walls. 10 seconds, squeezed out there by Metcalf. He'll throw it down the length of the ice, and he scores! Aiden Metcalf with his first goal of the season. It's an empty netter with 2.6 seconds to go. Mudbugs 4, Aberdeen 2, and the Mudbugs are starting to taste the 2021 Robertson Cup.
If you had only any enthusiasm, though, I'd say that's the one thing that could take you next level. If you could get excited about what you do.
You know, it's funny you play that clip. That player scores that empty netter with about 5 seconds to go in the championship game. That's his first goal all season, is an empty netter in the championship game. And it kind of threw me off, because here we are up one in that game trying to hold on, and then we score that empty netter with 5 seconds. So now we're going to win the championship, but we haven't won it yet. So my head was actually spinning a little bit.
Well, your enthusiasm is infectious. Now, are you like that all the time? Because I'm only hearing like the championship goals and, you know, these massive moments. What about when you're playing Odessa in the ninth game of the year?
If you ask any Mudbugs fans, they'll say that he's high octane all the time. And people ask me if I take energy drinks. I have not ever. I've never drank an energy drink. I won't do it. I don't need to. People know that I don't need to. But my mom said it best, you know, when you talk about my energy. My mom said that you call the games the way you did when you stood on top of the couch when I was 8 years old, mimicking these broadcasters that I watched on TV, and I tried to call my game then. And she says, you call the game then the way you call it now. And she says, it's a wonderful thing.
You were screaming back then?
Oh, my goodness. My mom would be cooking dinner, and she'd be like wondering what all the racket was. She tried to control me. But I mean, how can you? You can't, unless she's got a muzzle. Like, I mean, you know.
Chet, who are the guys you like now that you admire as hockey announcers or play-by-play announcers in general?
Play-by-play announcers, well, deep prayers go out to one of my all-time favorites, Dwayne Kuiper, San Francisco Giants telecaster. When I found out he was sick and he had to go to chemo, that hit me hard because he's a guy that I grew up just absolutely idolizing, admiring his style, everything he does, his sense of humor. He seems like one of the most genuine guys you'll ever come across, unselfish broadcasters I've ever witnessed. He's probably at the top of the list. Doc Emmerich, I love. Gary Thorne, I wish they brought him back for hockey on ESPN, which is coming back. I love Dan Rusinowski, who I worked with for, I think, over 6 years. Ruzzo's special because he's so articulate and so quick to everything he calls. He's great. I mean, that's a handful of guys that are great for me. I like Tim Roy on the Warriors side. You know, I'm obviously a big Barry, a sports fan. I listen to so many now, Dave, that it's hard to come up with just a couple. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure. You're always going to leave out someone with a list like that, like me. Anyway, coming up, your team's 20th season, and not a lot of time to relax before you get back to it. Coming up October 1st, the opener against Odessa.
Yeah, this is the shortest offseason we're ever going to have. Our training camp starts first week of August, so a lot of guys that are returning are going to see me again in about 5 weeks. It's actually very eerie to think about. It's scary because hockey does have the shortest offseason, but it's even the shortest when you win it all on a COVID season. So it's something special. We're going to be on the road in Minnesota in mid-September for a showcase, which is going to count as regular season games. And then we open up our home opener on October 1st. So not too much time to, you know, milk this championship. But, of course, when we raise the banner in October, it's going to be a special moment. I heard some of our former players, well, now former players, are going to make the trip as well to check it out.
Since you mentioned Minnesota, what makes Blaine a must-see for any vacation goer?
Great hockey. Great hockey in the Mall of America. You got to go to the Mall of America. We got to go to it because we had a couple of days off. And I'm not saying we spent all our time at the Mall of America. It was like a half day and then back to work doing film and dynamic workouts and ice practice. But if you can check out the Mall of America once in your life, it is probably a must-see on a bucket list. And the hockey is unbelievable. It's at a highest level that it's ever been. Minnesota, I put Minnesota up there with, you know, Canada, Wisconsin, you know, some of the big hockey capitals of the world. It's a very beautiful thing. And there's a lot of great things to do. I mean, you got great lakes you can go to in Minnesota. Like I said, you got the Mall of America. You got great food. People are so nice. Just a great Midwestern destination.
Chet Yoder from the Blaine Chamber of Commerce. Congratulations on the championship. I saw the picture of you holding it. I mean, it looks like you were on the team.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't – I didn't want to be the first to hold it, obviously. I wanted to be the last to hold it. I didn't know if I was going to get that opportunity to hold it, actually. A lot of the players, coaches, and other staff members, you know, held it, kissed it. It's actually 77.5 pounds. It's more than twice as heavy as the Stanley Cup. If anybody's looking to hold it, it's very hard. I needed assistance. But I was able to do the honorary kiss and able to hoist it. It was something special, for sure. My second cup title in now 3 seasons.
77 pounds. So that is matching your max bench press.
Yeah, it's awkwardly shaped too, Dave. So people gave me grief. I got a lot of grief from the guys because they know I put my work in the gym. You know, I do. But I need to work on my lifting more, don't I? A little bit more than my cardio intake.
No. The weight's not distributed evenly, kind of like a kettlebell. So that's your, you know, reason for not being so smooth with it.
Well, and also I'm wearing dress shoes on ice. I mean, so, you know, if I take a tumble, I mean, the Robbie Cup's going down with me.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Hey, I always love catching up with someone who's paid his dues. You're going places, young man. Going places for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I mean, I always appreciate the time. I'm a little flabbergasted when you asked me to come on.
Only go for the best guest, Chet Yoder. Only the best. And well, count me in the front row whenever you make that return to stand-up. I'll be there.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I'll pay you for the laughs. So there you go.
Chet Yoder, the voice of the Shreveport Mudbugs.
Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can't subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Your five-star reviews, the positive comments, the thumbs up, huge. Certainly helps out a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.